listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I never cease to be challenged by the divisiveness of Jesus. And it couldn't be more clear here with this tough text today. On one hand, there is so much language and imagery in our Bible and in our hymns of how Jesus is like a friend. Maybe you like to think about that too. Maybe you, like me, love that great old hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Beautiful, comforting hymn. I've sung that hymn together with family members in the faith at their bedsides, sometimes in their final moments. It's such a powerful image of Jesus taking our hand and walking with us, especially in our final moments. It reminds me a little bit, too, of the other great gospel song, "Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling." You know that song? "Calling for you and for me." Such a beautiful image of Jesus calling softly, tenderly, like a good friend. It's wonderful to have a God who is a friend, someone waiting for and walking with us even now, not just in our last days. Someone who takes us by the hand. But if we who are not yet on our deathbeds, we who have, God willing, some time left, some health left, something to share still on this earth, if we who are actively living have only a picture of this gentle, sweet Jesus, then we've traded our Bibles for just a few of our favorite songs and images. There was a book written a few years ago by Kendra Creasy Dean. She entitles it "Almost Christian: What the Faith of Our Teenagers is Telling the American Church." Was that studied or read here? It wasn't incredibly popular, but fascinating book. She argues in Almost Christian that our young people, studies are showing, she had lots of research and stuff, studies are showing our young people are emerging and drifting away from our churches with not much more than an image of a God who is simply nice. That's the simple term. The fancy term is moralistic therapeutic deism. Let's just call it nice God up in the sky religion. Moralistic therapeutic deism. This nice God up in the sky religion, as she describes, has made, this is a fascinating image, she says it's made its nest in the hair of Christianity and is in fact sucking the life out of the Church of Jesus Christ, living off of the complicated cross and resurrection core of our faith like a parasite. If nice God up in the sky religion had a creed, these would be the five pillars, according to Dean and her colleagues. See if these pillars sound familiar to you, actually. Number one, sure, God exists, whatever, and God watches over us from far away. Two, God wants us to be good and nice and fair, like the Bible says. Three, we should also all be happy and feel good about ourselves. Four, God's not really involved in our lives, except when we need God to solve a problem. And five, if we're good, when we die, we'll go to heaven. Moralistic, therapeutic deism. Maybe some of these ideas sound kind of familiar. Maybe these ideas don't sound too far off base. But know that Christian theologians and martyrs and scholars and saints down through the centuries would call this creed, these 5 points, profane and lazy. Nice God up in the sky religion is not scaring our young people out of church anytime soon. Nobody is running for their lives terrified of religion or the church. It's the opposite, really. There's just nothing scary about it at all. There's nothing even interesting about it. It's not captivating or challenging. It's not life-giving. Frankly, it's kind of boring. It's slowly but surely life-draining, like a parasite. Moralistic, therapeutic deism. I'm afraid, in many ways, we could be responsible. I'll just say I could be responsible for teaching this to our children. I certainly could be guilty as charged. Maybe because a nice God teaching is a reaction to maybe another teaching that came before. I got this even as I was growing up, a wrathful, mean God that's waiting like Zeus in the sky with a lightning bolt to throw it at us if we step out of line. So something else has come up in recent decades, right? This nice God up in the sky religion. But this easy, nice, sweet friend Jesus, preaching and teaching, is slowly but surely eroding the church, Dean would say, rounding out the edges, watering it down, making it harder and harder for us to even hear Jesus' challenge for us today. I imagine preachers across the country today, because this is a text everybody's got to preach today. Most preachers are doing this. It's the Revised Common Lectionary. I imagine preachers this Sunday, I actually know a few, who are either irritated that this text has come up again, like, oh, great. I mean, it's hard to announce that. Gospel of the Lord at the end of this reading here today, about the sword coming between father and son and mother and daughter. Did you think I came to bring peace? No, I came to bring division. The Gospel of the Lord. No, there's preachers who are irritated that this text has come up again. Or we make jokes about how this is a good week, that everybody's on vacation. Oh, thank goodness. I actually said that to Marie myself this week. Good thing so many are traveling right now. Who wants to hear this text about Jesus bringing a sword? I mean, I didn't even want to put that picture on the cover of the bulletin. But friends, Jesus speaks anyway. Despite all our resistance, all our frustration with these tough texts, Jesus shows up anyway. And here we have this text before us. What did you expect, Jesus asks us today? What did you expect? In less than sweet tones, by the way, he says, what did you expect? Did you expect me to come and affirm your status quo? Did you expect me to bring you just gentle, sweet words of encouragement? Did you expect me to take a look at how you're treating one another? How you're treating this earth? How you hoard your money and your gifts? How you exclude one another and trample one another on this earth? How you fail to forgive over and over? How you hurt and judge and ridicule and attack one another and simply say, well, you're doing the best you can. Good for you. What did you expect? Friends in Christ, Jesus loves us too much to let us off the hook that easy. Like a good parent, we never let the kids get away with some stuff. Let's speak up because they love their children. Jesus loves us too much to let us off the hook that easy. And Jesus is too alive in our world today to stop speaking to us, even if it might be hard for us to hear, with this buzzing nest of nice God religion in our hair. Just because we might be drifting in these late days in summer. Anybody feel like they might be drifting right now? I don't know if the school year has started or if I'm still in summer. It just comes with this heat and this humidity or this time in our lives. Just because we might be drifting in these late days of summer doesn't mean God is drifting. Just in case you're feeling drowsy or distracted or lost or cynical these days about life, about church, about the world, Jesus does not get drowsy or distracted or lost or cynical, thank God. We are shaken to the core by this powerful text today, wrenched back to life by a God who is teeming with life and energy. Did you think that I came to bring peace? Jesus says. Jesus, for one thing, pulls out that nice God up in the sky nest, rips it into pieces and sets it ablaze. There's this fire imagery in the text today. Jesus arrives on our scenes today and rips us apart from our social circles, from our family circles, from our cultural circles, our political and economic circles, which all can give us some sense of identity and security. But if those circles fail to align with his agenda, he says to us again today, wake up! He cries out, my welcome is bigger than you can imagine, Jesus says. My love is wider. My forgiveness wraps around this whole universe. My embrace has no end, God says to us again today. And you know what? That's going to upset a lot of people. Jesus' mercy is everlasting. His embrace is all-encompassing. His agenda is to set the captives free, he said at the beginning of this book of Luke. To set the captives free, to recover sight for the blind, peace to the oppressed. This is the first 12 chapters of Luke. But what he doesn't have time for is those who would stand in the way of that mission, of that agenda. All are forgiven, yes. Grace abounds, yes. But if you refuse the path of discipleship, that difficult road of sacrificial giving and living, that sacrificial road of loving your enemies, then move aside. Thank God. Christ's realm arrives with or without our permission or our participation. But we are nudged here once again this week to get on board. To get on board with God's agenda. Thank God. I've learned and experienced in my 13 plus years of ministry that the more welcoming, maybe you've experienced this too, the more welcoming we get as a church, the more mission-minded we become, the more justice-seeking we act, the more we get on board, in other words, the more we upset. Let's just look at the Lutheran Church in history in the United States. There was once a time, can you believe it? There was once a time when it was welcoming people of a different nationality into your church. And I'm not talking about all kinds of nationalities. I'm talking about Germans and Norwegians. There was actually a time where Germans were looking at each other and saying, I don't know, I'm looking at the scriptures and I'm thinking that we should probably welcome those Norwegians into the sanctuary. Guess what happened? Division. When that happened, then different skin colors, of course. People, white people, particularly in the Lutheran Church, started to look around and say, I don't know, I'm reading my Bible. I was studying the Pentecost, and there's lots of different people. I'm beginning to think that everybody's welcome in here. We should start to be more welcoming to people of different skin tones. Guess what happened? Divisions formed as the church became more welcoming. But these are still very present realities, these historic struggles in the church. And then in the 1970s, you know this, the church worked on welcoming even more explicitly into leadership positions women and pastors who were divorced. Lots of stories about rejection, that women could not be pastors and male pastors who were divorced. And we start to open up more and more. Guess what happens as women and divorced pastors start to enter into the pulpits? Division happens in the church. It just constantly happens. And now, as you well know, we are working on welcoming even more explicitly lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, asexual plus communities. Look how that's going for us as a church, as a nation. The more welcoming you get, the more people you upset, the more division happens. Isn't that interesting? Did you think I came to bring peace? Jesus says, what did you expect? You know that the clouds in the west mean rain. What did you expect? What about caring for and welcoming the undocumented immigrants into God's embrace and into our sanctuaries? Division. We're already seeing it all over the church. Or people of different socioeconomic brackets, or ages, or physical or mental abilities. What about people who don't take care of our church? What if they come in? I put our in parentheses, of course. Or the non-human members of this planetary society. What if the church starts to open up to more members of all of God's creation? What would that look like if we opened our arms even more? See, the more that Christ is understood as cosmic, as he is, by the way, throughout the New Testament, the more divisions will ensue. And yet, And yet, friends, the mission goes on. The embrace of God extends. The compassion and mercy of Christ rains down on us still, and still on all those with whom we share this universe. And despite the division that will inevitably occur, when we join alongside the one who first joined alongside us, we will be all right. Even in the division that our welcome may cause, even among ourselves, even among our own congregations, we will be all right. We press on, friends in Christ, not because we have an agenda, not because we want to change the world or the church or the city or ourselves. We press on as Christians because of God's agenda. God has an agenda of freedom and grace and mercy and justice and compassion, and that has captivated us. That freedom, ironically, locks us down, locks us in, it binds us together, and we now can't help but continue to be faithful, to continue in the covenant of our baptism. I like to talk about it as a current. We can't help but get caught in the current. We've experienced God's grace. I was up in Oregon this last week visiting my brother. Well, Katie was visiting Grandpa and Grandma in California, and I got caught in a current while we were kayaking in the Clackamas River. It was fantastic, but there's nothing you can do about it when you get caught in that current. We were actually coming to an intersection. We were trying to cross the current. Forget it. We just got caught in the current and went right down the river, and it was so much fun. That's the covenant of our baptism. That is living among God's faithful ones. That is hearing and tasting the word of God. That is following Christ out into the world, striving for justice. We can't help it. We've been caught in the current, and we will be all right. Surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, following in the shadow of a God who is not simple and nice, rich and complex, gentle and provocative, human and divine, so much more than just a nice God and far away God. No, Jeremiah told us, God's right here. A God who is both peaceful, God is peaceful, and divisive. So let us go now, renewed and strengthened, centered and bold, in Jesus' name. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.